Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condorian Murrah. They're the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. My dad spent the morning in their Fairfax office today getting some paperwork finished with them and texted me raving about the experience. You can have a very pleasant experience with them as well. He said the whole process from beginning to end was quick and easy for such an important matter. Among the other text messages that I got from old DB today. So Dennis Paulson was fired up. If you have some needs, check out Condorian Murrah, our show sponsor. A lot going on in the NFL. It is free agency day. No Danny, but Brad Spielberger of PFF joins me now on G&D to get to the bottom of all of the important matters of the afternoon. Brad, I want to start with a little nugget we just got here in D.C. Josina Anderson reporting the Commanders are one of the teams talking with Austin Eckler's agency. What do you make of Eckler and the type of money he might get? What'd you forecast for him? Because at the right price, they need a pass catcher and a third down type. I just don't want to pay him a lot of money at this point of his career. He's about to be 29.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be super strong. It has been a good day for the running backs, no question about it. A lot of players, not just the Saquon Barkley's and Josh Jacobs, but yeah, the next tier with DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard getting $8 million a year, Devin Singletary getting $5.5 million. All of that said, I still think Eckler comes in below all those. I think you're looking at like 2 years, eight, 2 years, nine. Just did not look like the same player last year. Maybe he was playing through an injury or something like that. Maybe he does need to be more of a committee player, take on that Antonio Gibson role with Brian Robinson, obviously more of the workhorse on early downs, and maybe he'll be more efficient. But he looked a step slow last year compared to the Austin Eckler we're used to seeing.
Would you, if you're Washington, bring him in at 2-8 or 2-9?
Yeah, I don't hate the idea. I do think you can make the argument that, I mean, this is a guy that had 100 catches 2 years ago. And, you know, we talk a lot about, oh, a team should do this to help a rookie quarterback. You know, like, for example, you know, I just mentioned Jordan Love in Green Bay. Or you make that argument for Caleb Williams now in Chicago with DeAndre Swift. I don't know if I buy it, you know, spending top of market. I would rather those teams go out and add some offensive line or something of that nature. But if you're Washington, a pass catcher, a check down outlet, a guy that if your quarterback's going to get hit, you just say, hey, you're a rookie. You're a couple years away. Instead of taking a shot, just throw the ball to Austin Eckler and let him go to work. It's not the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, it's kind of my argument for why I'm interested, but I would need it to be at that $4 million rate. You mentioned the running back market. Am I wrong for taking this to mean that the league is not high on this running back class in the draft?
No, that is the takeaway. That is the number one takeaway, and we're seeing it at a couple positions today. Running back, I think, is probably the most glaring just because we know that even when, you know, there's good players or they're good ages, they've had good seasons, it's still been hard for these guys to get paid. I think you are seeing now that they do not like this draft class. I'm not sure there's a top 50 pick at running back in this draft class. Based on, and I'm telling you, a data point that I now, I think I was saying that coming into the week, and it's why I think my projections on the backs were a little bit stronger than other people, because I'd heard there was no love for this draft class. You're also seeing it today at linebacker, big time, and safety as well. Just those markets generally doing better at the middle tier than they have the last 3-4 years or so since I've been doing this. And I think the biggest reason why is just not a lot of love for the draft class at those positions.
McKinney comes to mind. You mentioned safety. Got paid very handsomely by the Packers to leave the Giants. What's helped set the linebacker market? What have we seen?
Yeah, so, you know, McKinney, like you said, safety, massive deal. I guess we'll see how the rest go with, you know, like a guy like a Cam Curl. Washington, obviously, still out there. You know, I kind of had some pushback on my projection there, though maybe it ages fairly well. The linebacker one, it really, again, I don't think we're going to get a first-round linebacker. You know, Peyton Wilson tested really well and was kind of, you know, a buzzy name in Indianapolis at the combine. He's going to be 24 years old on draft night and has extensive injury history, and he might be the number one linebacker. So it's not yet the big name. You know, we haven't gotten the Patrick Queen-level splash yet, you know, but I think, like, Azeez Al-Shaair could do really, really well. I think Frankie Louvu could do well. And we've seen, you know, Drew Tranquil signs a one-year flyer for $3 million last year. Signs for 3 years, $19.5 million, 6.5 per. You got Blake Cashman signing for $7.5 million a year. So, you know, not these crazy numbers, but the last couple of years, those guys were signing one-year, two-year deals for $2, $3 million. And I think the other element there, too, beyond the whole draft class conversation also is look at the final four teams in last year's playoffs. You had the Kansas City Chiefs, who used day two picks on linebackers 3 years in a row and then signed Drew Tranquil. You had the Ravens, you know, with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, the Niners with Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and the Lions, who's the first-round pick on a linebacker and Jack Campbell, you know, spent on Alex Anzalone. So just teams that prioritize that position, to covering the middle of the field, you know, focusing on some things that the current NFL, you know, offenses are attacking and how to defend that. And I think now you're kind of seeing that reaction. You know, the NFL is a very reactionary league, and I think we're seeing that a lot today.
Brad Spielberger of PFF, he is their salary cap expert. Before, he was with PFF as one of my favorite writers on the NFL and analysts when it comes to the media now. He was on the front office side helping in a cap room. And I bring that up to ask you, how does this happen? Like, nobody cares locally about Will Lutz necessarily, but the kicker had agreed to go to Jacksonville. He's changed his mind. He's going back to Denver. We see one or two of these in all these periods. Is it as simple as when you agree it's not over till it's over? Or, like, how does that actually happen?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. I mean, technically, all these deals that are being announced today are only in principle, and they are sharing, you know, contract language. It's not like it's just, a phone call. There is definitely more nuance to it than that. But technically, if it's not processed at 4 p.m. on Wednesday when the new league year actually begins, then it's not official. And look, there's obviously – when you have these handshake agreements, you don't want to back out of them. You know, it happens every once in a while. I'm trying to think now. Who was the running back in Washington a couple of years ago where he was J.D. McKissick, right? He signed a deal with Buffalo, right? And then returned to Washington. So, yeah, it happens a couple times a year. Maybe, you know, a team or an agency will think a stronger deal will come along, so they don't want to say yes, or they do say yes and something else crosses their desk. Like, it is a bad look, and you can't probably get away with it too often, but yeah, it happens two or three times a year, and yeah, it looks like Will Lutz, the kicker, is the first example for 2024.
All right, let's extrapolate the conversation out to some of the bigger picture items people care about, and we'll circle back to what the Commanders have done today. But I want to start at quarterback. What in the heck is going on with Justin Fields? It just seems like it's so funny. We spent hours and hours talking about, you know, what Chicago's going to do, and is it Caleb Williams at one or Fields? And I think that conversation ended a few weeks ago, but I want all that time back. Nobody seems to want Justin Fields. He might end up a backup somewhere.
I think at this point it's pretty much, I mean, the only option. I don't know where he would hypothetically start or even really, you know, compete for a starting job. Like, you know, the Steelers thing, I think if he goes to Pittsburgh before the Russ move happens, you're saying, all right, he's probably going to beat out Kenny Pickett, but you can characterize it as a competition. Now I'm not even sure where that exists. I never thought the Raiders were an option because their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, and I know there's been tweets from Diana Rossini and others that they had some conversations. Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, literally just got fired by the Chicago Bears. I'm not going to say he thinks Justin Fields got him fired, but obviously the two did not work. And I'm a Bears fan. I watched them play. Getsy does not like to run. What Fields actually is good at doing, that made no sense to me, and maybe I'm still proven wrong. But I'm at the point now where I think it's like Seattle or the Giants that say, hey, we'll bring you in as a backup, but there's a good chance you could start if our guy gets hurt or if things go south for a Geno Smith or for a Daniel Jones. And then maybe like, you know, Philadelphia, who loves to spend on backup quarterback and take a lot of gambles there. I guess Denver, if they strike out and everything else. But I'm not confident he has a starting job in week one of 2024, unfortunately for him.
So better, worse, or the same than the sixth rounder for Mac Jones to Jacksonville then?
I mean, I still think he should do better. You know, Mac Jones to me has zero upside. Like, maybe some teams could talk themselves into a floor and could also say, yeah, well, he can be a backup. And so, you know, we're not afraid. Oh, if Trevor Lawrence is a bad game, I don't think anyone's going to start chanting Mac Jones' name. He is from Jacksonville, so maybe some local fans of his. But, like, all jokes aside, like, Fields does still carry that buzz. And there is reason to believe that if he was in a better situation with a better organization, that maybe it could have gone better. So, yeah, it's really fascinating. So I think he will do better than the six, for sure. But, you know, it was never going to be a first-round pick, and now I'm not even sure they're getting a second-round pick. I think the big thing could be you get a future pick with conditions on it, like, hey, a future fourth that could become a third or maybe even a second if he wins the playoff game. Like, I think that is now their best-case scenario at this point.
Does it ever get to a point where there's more value to keep him around, or is that a non-starter if you're bringing in Caleb Williams 1-1?
I mean, from a football standpoint, I think it's always the better idea. I wish we could get to a place like college football where you have competition. And these guys are sitting there as five-star recruits, and 10 new five-star recruits are on campus every 5 minutes. And it's just how it goes in. You have competition, let the best man win, the other one, you know, transfers or gets traded in this hypothetical, whatever. The locker room dynamic and the politics and the agents and all that, I just really think it's become kind of impossible to do. And, you know, I also do say in this particular situation, you know, my understanding is Fields is just the most well-liked person in the entire building, like by not even just his teammates, but, you know, coaches, personnel people, everyone, the janitor, the cooking staff. Like, he is the most liked guy in the entire organization, and it would just be really, really difficult to kind of navigate that with a rookie.
Brad Spielberger of PFF, a quarterback that did have a market, Kirk Cousins, ends up getting a 4-year deal to go to Atlanta, his third team, $180 million. And for Cousins, $45 million guaranteed each of the next 2 years. So tell me everything I'm wrong. It sounds to me like Minnesota was guaranteeing him the money for this year, but his fear was maybe they draft the QB and begin to set up my replacement. And in Atlanta, he gets at least 2, maybe 3 years at 36 years old now, where he doesn't have to worry about being supplanted. How do you see what went down?
Yeah, no, I think it's for a lot of reasons just lined up very, very well. He's probably now the best quarterback in that division, which sounds crazy to say, but I think it's true. You have, you know, probably the best roster across the board now. He has a good offensive line, good pass catchers. The defense was better last year. And, yeah, it's just that you're playing in a dome, all these things. But, yeah, you're right. It's also just buy yourself some, you know, assurances and stability for 2, maybe 3 years. Finish out your career there. You don't have to worry about getting healthy super quickly, like you said, and worry about getting back to the market. It's, you know, a minimum probably a 3-year deal. There probably could be an out after two once we get the full details. But, you know, it's probably kind of like a Derek Carr situation where you're probably going to be on that roster for 3 years, maybe two, if everything goes poorly. But, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a 1 year and re-up or 1 year and maybe get moved on from. Kirk can relax and not look over his shoulder, which is probably tough when you're thinking every year, every game that you are playing for a contract, whether it's an extension or a new deal altogether. And that's kind of been where he's at for in the last 2, 3 years now.
I like the supporting cast better in Minnesota with Jefferson, Addison coming up, Hockenson when he's back from the ACL. I actually like the kid, Brandon Powell, who played their third receiver, but K.J. Osborne's decent. Their line's come a long way in a couple of years. Darisaw at left tackle, O'Neal at right tackle. I just think that's a much better group than Atlanta. People seem to really like the Falcons' collection of players a lot, which to me is odd. It's Drake London and nothing else at wide receiver. Pitts, who's been disappointing at tight end. Bijan was underutilized. Is the idea just that Zach Robinson, former PFF guy, just going to do that much better than, you know, the previous offensive coordinating group did?
No, I mean, I think it's also, look, this was Minnesota moving on more than Kirk Cousins moving on. He wanted to maximize his money and the length of the deal. I have no belief that Minnesota was, honestly, they weren't close to this number, but I don't think they were touching an offer like this. And then, you know, you've probably all heard, like, his wife's from Atlanta or the Atlanta area. He had his wedding in the Atlanta area. And I do think it also is attractive. Look, I agree Minnesota's, you know, pass catchers and their offensive line has also taken strides. Particularly their tackles are awesome. But the NFC North now, you know, the Lions made the conference championship game. The Packers look scary. Hopefully the Bears can figure some things out. Whereas, like I said, I mean, you win 10 games in Atlanta, you're probably winning the NFC South because I think it's the worst division of football.
Yeah, very well said. Brad Spielberger of PFF, couple of moments left. Russell Wilson, I haven't really gotten into this today because there's just been so much going on that we've been reacting to every few minutes. Tell me where you think I'm wrong. I don't like this. I know he makes no money, but I just think it's a giant waste of time. It prevents them from a losing season probably under Mike Tomlin, which is cool. And maybe they make the playoffs and win a playoff game. But it is the quarterback purgatory that I would do everything I could to avoid. Like he's not that good. He's not going to get you over the hump. And the last two and a half seasons, basically, you're talking about, I don't know, the 20 to 25th best quarterback in the NFL or something like that. I would have just played either Pickett or gone and gotten, whether it's Fields or another guy on a rookie contract with some upside, tried that, and if it didn't work out, I'm at least picking high enough to find my answer. My fear is they're going to pick 17 to 22 or whatever, doing it this way. Where am I wrong?
No, I mean, you are right. It's just the teams don't think that way, where, you know, the fastest path back to an actual contending season for them would be being bad, right? They are squarely in QB purgatory. They've been there since the day Ben Roethlisberger retired. Well, really, the last 2 years of his career probably right. Qualify as well. You know, and they just, like you said, they probably are going to have a winning season for the 17th time in a row. They'll make the wild card round. They'll probably lose in the first round, but teams also view that as a successful season. You're going to sell out the stadium every single week. Fans will be engaged, and you know, they, of course, will think you're going to win the whole thing. It is, yeah, it makes it harder to get back to actually picking super high, getting a great player. Or I agree, the field thing, like chasing upside. Like, we know who Russell Wilson is. It is a good value in a vacuum, get him for a minimum contract, but he's not going to get any better. He's not going to have a bounce back age 36 season or whatever age he is now. So, yeah, but that's just not really how NFL teams operate. And they also probably are thinking, you know, Cam Hayward's 35, TJ Watt's 30. You know, there's players you want to do right by and all these things. So, yeah, I do think they are a playoff team once again, even though they're probably in the best division in football in the AFC North. But, yeah, I'd be surprised if they won a playoff game.
The Raiders get the award today, Brad, for the team that I'm kind of scratching my head at a little bit. They haven't done anything wrong. They've added talent. But they gave Christian Wilkins that unbelievable contract with $85 million guaranteed. And they just signed at the start of our conversation. They came to terms with Gardner Minshew, 2 years and $25 million, 15 guaranteed. I guess he would start for them over Aiden O'Connell if they don't draft a quarterback or trade up or something. What do you make of their day?
Yeah, I mean, look, Christian Wilkins was going to be the bell of the ball once it was clear he was not going to get franchise tagged by Miami. We're just seeing the interior defensive line market explode, you know, even pushing forward with Chris Jones. And that deal helped, you know, Wilkins even in that 48-hour window, because I think it could have landed maybe as more of a bridge between, you know, the young guys at 22, 23, 24, and then Aaron Donald at 31 or, you know, 32. And Jones actually did tether to that Aaron Donald contract. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, it's kind of just still the same old Raiders, classic Raiders. Like, they do have a lot of exciting pieces, but they're old. They still don't have a quarterback, and they're sitting there at 13. And I'm sure they're trying to trade up or find a solution to make Gardner Minshew a bridge to something. But now Minnesota sitting at 11 also is going to be extremely aggressive, I would assume, to trade up. And Denver at 12 also doesn't have a quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, it's just funny. If they're starting Gardner Minshew, you're sitting there like, you're spending a ton of money to start a guy who, frankly, is a borderline fringe starting quarterback in the NFL. So right. that's the Las Vegas Raiders, baby.
Yeah, the Raider way, I suppose. Just spend, baby. All right, last one. Give me your favorite or deal you like, deal you don't like today.
One just broke that we were talking. I don't know what the Arizona Cardinals were watching when they decided that Justin Jones was worth $30 million over 3 years. So he was a guy in Chicago that he had a couple flashes here and there. He's a former second, third-round pick for the Chargers, but that's a crazy contract to me. Honestly, you know, these are always boring answers, but I like the smaller deals. Like DeNico Autry going to Houston, I love as a guy that DeMeco Ryans can move all over that defensive line. He can play on the interior. He can rush as a base end. He can do a lot of different things. I really like that move for Houston. And they still need to add more pass rush, but a very good start bringing in a great veteran, DeNico Autry.
Brad, the info is always fantastic. Great job with some of your projections as well. You've been spot on a lot of these deals. Thank you for the time, and we'll catch up soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you.
Be good. There's Brad Spielberger on Grant and Danny. This doesn't matter to anybody, probably. Way taller than you'd think. I met him out at the Super Bowl. Just a big dude. You're like, oh, he's a cap guy. He's kind of a PFF dude. You think of him as like breaking out the calculator and doing nerdy football stuff. Big guy, that Brad Spielberger. Appreciate his insight. How would you guys feel about Austin Ekeler? So Spielberger just said he thinks 2 years, $4 or $5 million a year would get it done. Maybe 2 and 8, 2 and 10, something like that. If that is the price tag, in or out on Austin Ekeler, one of the biggest stars from a fantasy standpoint and just a running back standpoint in the league over the last few years. I want to hear from you on that next on G&D.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You'd like to catch some touchdown passes from Justin Herbert. On the draw, Ekeler with a lot of space. Sprinting for the pylon, and he's in for his second touchdown of the day. This one from 20 yards out.
G&D on the Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. Danny is out. The Commanders have made two moves. Dorrance Armstrong, the defensive end from Dallas, signed for 3 years and about $33 million is what we're hearing. Meanwhile, they have a new starting center as well, also from the Dallas Cowboys. 3 years and $30 million for Washington. Question is, what's next? And we might have an answer. Who's being added to Tyler Biadasz and Dorrance Armstrong, the center and end from Dallas? For that, we head over to our update studio.
And breaking news on the Fan is brought to you by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. The Commanders have a third move today. It's former Panthers linebacker Frankie Louvu. He's agreed on a 3-year deal worth a maximum value of $36 million, according to Adam Schefter. So on top of Tyler Biadasz and Dorrance Armstrong, Frankie Louvu coming over from the Panthers for the Commanders. I'm Toby Altizer with your breaking news on the Fan.
Attaboy, Tobes. Louvu, 3 years with the Jets to start his career. 3 years with the Panthers more recently. 6 seasons in. This is going into now year 7 for the linebacker, 6'3", 235. He was a Washington State product out of college who, at 27 years old, is coming off of a pretty solid season. About 7.5 sacks the last 2 years coming off the edge. 12.5 total sacks, 125 tackles the last two seasons. So what did we say at the beginning of the day? One an interior lineman. They got a center. One a linebacker. They just got a linebacker. And you wanted a tight end. Well, we're still working on that, but Zach Ertz was the first move they made ahead of free agency. Defensive end was probably the biggest area of need on the entire team. They signed Armstrong. So now I'm curious to get more intel on how they view Luvu. I think, though, the fact that he's been on really good defenses, the fact that he was very productive on what was a sneaky, awesome defense last year. People sleep on Ejiro Evro's defense in Carolina. That was a top 10 unit for much of the season. Top 5 for a good portion of the year. And I'll tell you right now, the Eugene Shen department is going to be pretty high on Frankie Luvu. His grade last year from PFF, you know, run and pass defense, really, really good. But where he excels is pass rushing from the linebacker position. He ranked 23rd among linebackers with 84 solo tackles, was top 5 in forced fumbles, 13th among linebackers in assisted tackles last season. You dive into some of the analytics on, you know, 460 snaps against the run, 104 coming downhill as a pass rusher. They sent him a bunch. 420 snaps in coverage last year. Was an undrafted player, I believe, in 2018 at a Washington State. Who's really had a good run. I want to ask you guys about Austin Ekeler, though, at 800-636-1067. We'll get back into Luvu in just a moment. But let's go to Bill, who's in Lorton, who's been waiting patiently. Bill, Austin Ekeler, 2 years, if it's $4 or $5 million a year, is that something you'd be interested in? That's what the Commanders are apparently toying with.
Go ahead, I'll take that. And I won't have to pay him a boatload of money. The guy can't catch out the backfield, and he's a touchdown-making guy. And he's better than McKissick, and he runs hard as well. I'll take that, Grant, all day long.
So to me, the whole key, Bill, appreciate you, buddy, it's just going to be the value. It's just the dollar amount. I'm so averse to paying running backs a lot of money at age 29. He's injury-prone. He gets hurt a lot. Even when he plays, because there's a lot of games played there where he's banged up or he's in and out of the lineup or he's in the blue tent. And I know he's a small guy. I get that. He's very physical. He's very tough. You run him between the tackles a bunch. Like, he could do a lot. I care about third down back traits, pass catching, pass pro. And I'm not opposed to paying $4 or $5 million if I have to do it, if he's going to be awesome in those areas. My nervousness, while paying that much isn't my preference, would be if you're paying him that kind of money, you're now making more than a third-round pick in Brian Robinson. Like, how inclined do they become to start feeding him the football a little bit? And Robinson's not special. He's fine. He's very solid. I like Brian Robinson. I do like the idea of a little bit of a, you know, a tandem where that you've got someone who's different. But can you find that cheaper? Certainly. Will you get a back in the draft who's as good as a pass catcher, running choice routes, helping your young quarterback, picking up blitzes, being responsible as a pass pro guy in the mid rounds, as you will, Ekeler? Probably not. So is it worth the extra couple $1 million when you got nothing but money and you're not going to spend it all anyway? Yeah, probably. Everything I'm doing, I'm going to do for the young quarterback. Does he help Jaden Daniels? Is he going to make Drake May better? If the answer is yes, and I think decidedly so with a guy like Ekeler out of the backfield, then I'm interested. What's the argument against it? You don't want to spend it running back because he's a veteran? It's not a lot of money. If what Spielberger's saying is true. Now, if we find out they go 3 years and $23 million or something, you know, 3 years and $24 million, okay, I'm out. Different story altogether. But you're telling me 2-8, 2-10? Yeah, I'm into that. This was Spielberger a few minutes ago.
It has been a good day for the running backs, no question about it. A lot of players, not just the Saquon Barkley's and Josh Jacobs, but yeah, the next tier with DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard getting $8 million a year, Devin Singletary getting 5.5. All of that said, I still think Ekeler comes in below all those. I think you're looking at like 2 years, 8, 2 years, 9. Just did not look like the same player last year. Maybe he was playing through an injury or something like that. Maybe he does need to be more of a committee player. take on that Antonio Gibson role, with Brian Robinson obviously more of the workhorse on early downs, and maybe he'll be more efficient. But he looked a step slow last year compared to the Austin Ekeler we're used to seeing.
Are you interested in Ekeler? Led the NFL in touchdowns combined 2 years in a row prior to this past season. 800-636-1067. The other big move made just within the last few minutes by the Commanders is to go get Frankie Louvu, linebacker from the Carolina Panthers. Ron Rivera's not here, but they're still going to dip into that Carolina pool every now and then. He was the highest graded player as a pass rusher on the Panthers last season. Overall defensive grades, he was their fourth best player, according to PFF, behind Derek Brown, first-round pick, J.C. Horn, top-of-the-board pick, and Xavier Woods.
The Commanders.
17 games last season for him. And as I mentioned, over 100 tackles, fine, but 20 pressures, something he's done really, really well. I just wonder what the plan is and how you use him. Because Jamin Davis has all but proven he can't play Mike. You've kicked him off the middle linebacking spot to basically playing outside. My guess is they're going to go more traditionally back to using three linebackers. But you know, if you have Jamin Davis, do you think now you move him back inside, he can play the middle, and that way you can have Louvu kind of on the outside coming off the edge occasionally? I'd be curious to know what their thought is there. Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill on GMD. Shane, where are you at on Ekeler?
Man, I think we need to stay away from that. For one, I don't like how we just let Gibson walk, who was just a younger, you know, younger guy who had the same pass, catching chops, and wasn't expensive with his New England contract. I think, if anything, just grab a guy with the draft, you know, who will cost next to nothing, fifth, sixth round, if he's only going to be used on third downs anyway. Well, how about just trusting in Brian Robinson to be that every down back? I think he showed a lot of growth last year in catching the ball and running after the catch. I think that's, you know, that lets the defense not know what you're going to do if you're just keeping the same back end over and over, or just rotating him and Chris Rodriguez. Maybe we add in a guy in the fifth or sixth round that's a pass catching specialist. But I think we could use that money elsewhere, bro, honestly. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you. So a few things. Number one, Gibson, for those of you that don't know, to his point, signed with the New England Patriots. Gibson was overvalued, I thought, largely by the fan base for an extended period of time. Where I hope the Patriots use him better is in the pass-catching way that Shane was just talking about. Because I think Washington missed the boat a little bit. I don't think he split out enough. He should have been in the slot. He should have been out wide, motioning in and out of the backfield from the receiving positions. I think that would have been ideal and would have made a lot of sense. I think that they did him a disservice. But he was a very pedestrian ball carrier, which is not that crazy to say. I mean, he was a wide receiver in college who learned the position at the NFL level. Letting him walk and not paying him what is a little under $4 million a year was the right decision to me. I have no problem with that. I also viewed him as a little bit redundant as a rusher to what they do with Robinson and Rodriguez, where you see those guys that are kind of sledgehammers. I'm not saying they don't have vision, but they're just coming downhill, running through people. That's kind of what Gibson became as he got bigger and more physical. Ekeler would be a bit of a change of pace. But your point is, you had a guy that you could have made a really nice weapon as a pass catcher. It just didn't happen. You know, I think we all assumed because he was a wide receiver, he could have done a nice job out of the backfield running some of those choice routes and, you know, leaving linebackers in his wake by, you know, breaking him down off the dribble with footwork at the top of his choice route, at the top of, you know, where he's making his decision, where he's cutting in, cutting out. It never materialized. You've seen Ekeler do it for years. He's one of the best in the league at it. 800-636-1067. Are you happy with what you're hearing so far? Washington's now added to a defensive end in center hall. They have picked up a linebacker who was one of the top players on one of the top defenses in the league last year. Frankie Louvu, the last couple of years in Carolina, he's made over 100 tackles, coming off a career high 125 stops, and sneaky 12 and a half sacks the last 2 years from his linebacker position. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Cardinals must get to the 37 for a first down. Murray throws, picked off by Luvu. Frankie Luvu down the sideline. He's in for a Panthers touchdown.
During the break, I just went and pulled up like the first Panthers game on Game Pass I could. Just wanted to see where they were lining him up and what he was doing. First drive, he like blew up a play coming downhill, jumped a route and almost picked off Baker Mayfield. Frankie Luvu was all over the place. Really good player on a really good defense. And he's very multiple, very versatile, awesome pass rush skills. To me, it looks like he's a Mike linebacker. Now, we'll see how they plan on using him. But for the Panthers, when they were in base, he was their Mike linebacker at the end of the season. Makes a lot of sense if you're paying him upwards of $12 million a year, which it's not going to be that. That's the maximum amount. The agent will often tell the reporter that's asking, yeah, 3 years, upwards of $36 million. Okay, cool, I guess. What about the actual number? So we'll wait and see. But my guess is it's not going to be 12. We originally heard, remember, that Dorrance Armstrong as a defensive end was signing for 3 years at a max of 45, and then it turns out it's really 3 and 33 probably. You can make more money than that, but it's about $11 million a year. So Frankie Luvu, I'm going to assume, is a little under $12 million, probably closer to 10 per season. But here's your Mike linebacker, very likely. So him and Javon Davis, very, very different than David Mayo and Jamin Davis. And or fill in the, you know, with all due respect to like Kalik Hudson, this is a baller. This is a guy who last year was with Ejiro Evero calling the shots in defensively in Carolina, was one of the reasons that defense was exceptional, one of their best players. And people think about the Panthers, who were awful, should have the number one pick because they were the worst team in the league. And I think the assumption is their defense wasn't good. I'm telling you, look up any of the numbers that you want to. They were really hard to move the ball against. They finished last season number 6 overall defensively in yards per play, 7th against the pass, 12th against the run. And Luvu can defend the pass. They would drop him in coverage. They had him lined up, or they would stay with multiple linebackers on the field against, you know, 11 personnel with 3 receivers, kind of playing zone, sinking, and able to control a pretty large area. But I just like the pass rushing skills. To go get 12.5 sacks as a Mike linebacker over a couple of years, some of those he lines up on the edge basically in like heavy 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 situations, and then just comes downhill and really moves well, gets to quarterbacks. There was a play where he tracked down, I think it was Anthony Richardson early in the season, for a sack behind the line of scrimmage on what was like a fourth and one where he kept the ball in a boot. Move number three of the Adam Peters era linebacker. So you've got today a new starting Mike, a new starting defensive end, and a new starting center. Let's go to Greg, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Greg, how you feeling about the Commanders' move so far? You haven't heard from him for a day? That's no good. You better not be laughing. I don't know. It's always scary when you listen to a conversation. Like, what is he about to say, and should we be hearing it? Eavesdropping on our guy. You called us, though, just as a reminder. We didn't call you and listen in on your conversation. Let's go to Bernie in Potomac Falls. What's up, Bernie? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks, man. I'm a little, not skeptical, hesitant to believe in a defensive player when the offense is so awful, right? Because the other team doesn't have incentive to score. If the offense was good, if Carolina's offense was good, the defense isn't going to be as good. But I'm excited because they were slow.
Well, so, let me just answer your question really quickly, though, or your comment. Yards per play takes that out of the equation, right? You line up every single play. How many yards do you give up in the league? Five teams were better than the Panthers. Their coordinator was getting interviews for head coaching jobs because he's a stud.
No, and I get that. Look, I'm happy because they're faster. They were one of the slower teams, right? The Eckler pick, that's really where the best offense we've seen was when McKissick was in the backfield. Don't make Eckler the every day back, but bring him in, have him start a series or two. But what he's different than Gibson coming out of the backfield. Gibson ran more like RG3, one move, and then he was gone. He was a track guy. McKissick has that shiftiness on routes where he can make a linebacker miss. He can make a safety miss. And I think McLaurin is going to be the biggest benefactor because the safety might come up a little more. They're going to have their eyes on Eckler out of the backfield. So to me, anything you can do to get Eckler would be huge. I think it would be a great addition. I know you got a lot of calls. I appreciate the time, but I would love to see him get Eckler.
Thank you, Bernie. Much appreciated, buddy. I think if they can get him at the rate that we're talking about, sub $5 million per year, they're going to have way more interest. I have to imagine, I just trust Adam Peters to not come in here trying to throw money at a 29-year-old running back with some injury concerns who seems like he's played his best football. But I also think there's something to Eckler possibly having plenty of good days ahead of him still, and last year having been a fluke. It's not like it's a couple of bad years in a row, right? It was a season. But look, if you didn't have a number two overall pick coming in here, I'd feel a lot less inclined to go out and get a pass-catching running back. I think the best thing you can do for a young QB is a running back who catches passes and a tight end who can be a weapon. And I would address both of those things before the season started. Frankie Louvu, the number one ranked off-ball linebacker in PFF grade as a pass rusher. How about that last season? Signed by the Commanders. Grant and Danny coming back without Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.